want to go ahead and turn to Psalm chapter 7, verse 9. And while they're doing that, we want to say greetings to our pastor and Sister Ann. We'll send their love as usual. They're having a great time on tour. I've been reading, if you've been keeping up on Facebook and Twitter, you know that they're having an awesome time and God is moving. Continue to pray for them for safe travels and that God will continue to minister in a mighty way. And if you have your Bibles with you and you found that scripture, we're talking tonight about tests, heart tests. We've been listening to Joyce Meyer. She has an awesome teaching on this subject, on testing your heart, guarding your heart, on tests as general. And, you know, when you think about your heart, you might think about the fact that, well, I'm in good shape, I'm healthy, I don't have any heart problems, I don't need my heart tested. But you must realize that each and every one of us, our heart needs to be tested. Our heart needs some type of conditioning. And it's not always the physical condition, but it's about taking what's not good out of your heart and placing what's good in your heart. So when we all think about it, we truly do need a heart checkup. You may not have to run down to the doctor and have him put his little machine on your chest and wire you up and do all these different things, but we might need to go to the doctor and say, okay, God, put your machines on me. As David said, look inside my heart, know me. And if there's anything inside me, God, that is not right, impure, that is wicked, that should not be there, God, then remove it. That's the type of heart check we're talking about tonight. So when we look at Psalms chapter 7, verse 9, I'm reading out of the King James, New King James Version. It says, oh, let the wickedness of the wicked come to an end, but establish the just. For the righteous God tests the hearts and mind. See, when you think about the heart test, we have to realize that God will test us. He will not tempt us, but he will test us. There are things that we go through on a daily basis in our life that is a test. I remember this, I guess it was Jake's and the Potter's House Choir. They sang a song, It's Only a Test. Hold on, be strong, go through your test. And you have to understand that there are trials and things that we go through, trials and tribulations that we go through in our life, and a lot of times we look at it as, woe is me, why is this happening to me, I can't believe it, rather than looking at it as, this is a heart test, this is a checkup from the neck up. God is taking me through this in order to get me to where he wants me to be. And if anybody knows anything about taking tests, you either pass or you fail. And I'm going to throw this out there. I'm going to jump out on a limb and say that everybody in here has taken a test, a true test, like in school. If not, thank God. I can remember when I graduated from Pan Am, I walked across the stage and the president of the university says, are you ready to go through the master's course? I said, yes, ma'am, as long as I don't have to write any papers or do any tests. And she just looked at me. She said, here, take your degree. Because think about it, guys, when you take a test, it's uncomfortable. You can study, you can have all the information, but when it comes down to sitting down with all that stuff in front of you and you have to recall all the things that were taught, it is kind of trying. There's stress in that. And we don't like to take tests. If you're like me, you don't like to take them. Some people don't have any problems with them. I, for one, do not like to take tests. But we have to understand that there are things, and in order to be promoted, you must take the tests. You have to pass the test. You go through the class, you hear all the teaching, and all of a sudden they come to that test period and they say, okay, you have passed, you're able to move on to the next chapter, or you're able to move on to the next grade, or you're able to move on to whatever. So there are tests in our lives, in our regular life that we have to go through. But you also have to understand, and according to the Word of God here, God tests our hearts and our minds. There are things that we go through on a daily basis, or weekly basis, or yearly basis, that God is testing our heart. He's trying to see where we are. Are we going to honor him and obey his word, or are we going to fall short? The great thing about taking a test in God's economy or in God's school is there is no pass or fail. I mean, there is no fail. You pass, you move on to the next chapter. You fail, guess what? You have an opportunity to take it again. You have an opportunity to take it again. And you have an opportunity to take it again. That's what's so awesome about God. There is no fail in God. The Bible says a just man falls seven times, but he gets back up. You might fall short of the mark the first time. You might fall short of the mark the second time, but you keep getting back up and you keep trying. And when you pass that test, you are now able for promotion. You are now able for reward. You are now able to move to the next level and where God wants you to be. Have you ever had this strange, irritating, frustrating things happen to you? Think about it. You're going through your day, everything's going great, and all of a sudden something just out of the ordinary happens, and you begin to get frustrated. And all of a sudden you start thinking, oh, I can't believe this is happening to me and whatsoever. And you just keep going on and on and on. This was a great day. Why did this have to happen to me? Guess what? It could be a test. It could be that God is testing you in that area of your life so that you are able to get past that annoyance, get past that issue, get past that situation. According to Scripture, we heard again, God tests our heart. He does not tempt us, but he does test us. So think about this. One of the things that people say, well, I prayed that God would give me patience. Oh, my gosh. Guess what? You're going to be tried in that area. As soon as you pray for patience, you're going to be tried in the area of patience. You're going to, some little snot-nosed kid is going to run up and you're walking through Walmart, enjoying your shopping, having your own thing, and all of a sudden a basket comes up and hits you in the back of the leg, right on your heel. It catches the back of your heel. It hurts. You want to scream. You want to turn and punch somebody, but you just said, God, give me patience, and boom, there's that cart. Guess what? There's your opportunity to gain patience. Your fist is balled up. You're turning around with an open hand, backhand slap, ready to knock that kid back to where he came from. But God is testing you in the area of patience. Think about it. Think about it. We are tested daily in different areas. God does not tempt us, but he will test us in areas that he knows we need a heart check. So again, in God's school, there is no failing, just opportunities to retake. You take the test and then pass it, promotion. You take the test and you don't pass it, you have another opportunity to work on that. Passing the test in God means promotion, advancement, next stage or next chapter in your life. Passing the test in life. You go to college for 4 or 5 years, whatever. They get you all ready to graduate. You graduate, you get your degree. Now you want to go and work in that field, but you have to pass the exit exam before you get your degree. They need to know that you spent $30,000, $40,000, $50,000, $60,000, $70,000, $80,000, $100,000 in the last 4 years, and you learned something. They have to have that stamp of approval before they give you that thing. You have to pass the test. So we understand, in order to move to that next stage in our life, that next chapter in our life, we must pass the test. Failing the test simply means in this area of your life, there's things in your heart that needs work. And we will have to be tested in that area again until we pass it. You may have to take that test 3 times. You may have to take that test 4 times. You may have to take that test 5 times. God, I can't understand. Every day I walk through, every day I drive down the street, the same thing happens to me every day. Guess what? When you don't let that thing get to you, you've passed that test. Tomorrow you'll drive down that same street. That same thing will come up, but you will not notice it because the test has already been passed. You're moving on to the next level. So we understand. If we fail the test in God's school, it simply means there are issues in our heart that God is not through with yet. And understand something else about the test of life or the test in God's school is we will always have opportunity to be tried and tested. What does a test mean? When we talk about being tested, what are we truly talking about? Well, when you test something, you are trying to see if that item is going to do what it said it was going to do. When you're testing something, you are putting pressure on it. You're saying, you know what, this is what it says you can do. I'm going to try it. Now, many of you may have saw me when I walked in with that helmet, and everybody that I have showed my new toy to looks at me like I'm crazy. And on that speedometer, it says 140. Guess what? For your sake, and for pastor's sake, if you're watching it, Doc, I'm not going to try and go 140. Why? It's already been tested. It's already been proven. That's why they have 140 on the speedometer. The bike can do 140. I will not try it. Though in my crazy days, I have gotten up to about 120, 130. But those were about 20 years ago. So y'all thank God that I'm a little bit wiser now, so I only do the 90s and the 100s, no more 140s. That's a joke. And Tara says, yeah, right. But you test it. You put the pressure on it. When Kawasaki made that bike, the engineers who made that bike, they tested that engine to see how much pressure it would go. And when it was proven that it could hold 140, guess what? They stamped it, and on the speedometer, it says 140. Now, do I have to go out there and try it? No, it's already been proven. It's already been tested. So I don't have to do that. But when we put a test on something or when we're testing things, we are saying, you know what, I'm requiring you to do what you say you can do. I'm requiring you to do what your label says you can do, what your namesake says you can do. For instance, every one of you are doing something right now. You're testing it without even thinking about it. Everybody came in here, they saw a nice blue chair, and when I said you may take your seat, you tested it. You wanted to know if it was going to hold. You sat down. And in most cases, you wasn't worried about it because obviously they would not be in here if they could not hold you. Somebody has already tested it. But you do that. We test cars. We test golf clubs. We test boats. We test whatever it is. We buy things, and we want to know that they do what they said they will do. Well, guess what? In our life, there are things that we have to be tested on. And God tests us in areas of our life to see how we're going to perform at that level. Are we going to pass the test, or are we going to fail the test? Are we going to come through as pure gold, or are we going to have to go back into the fire and be refined once again? And that is what it is when we talk about testing, where when we realize that we're all going to go through some challenges sometimes, but the bottom line is, will you be able to do what God knows you can do? Understand this in God. He already knows what each and every one of us are capable of doing. The Bible tells us that he will not put more on you than you can bear. And a lot of people don't understand that. A lot of people think, man, one more thing and I'm going to break. No, God knows that you can handle that one more thing. God knows that you can go through it. The problem is we don't always know that we can handle it. We don't always know that we can go through to the next level. But when we realize that it's not about us, but it is about God, and we get our focus off the problem, off the situation, say, God, with you, I can do this. I know that I can make it to the next level. I know, God, that this is just a roadblock. I know, God, that this is just a test to say, can you do what I know you can do? See, God has more inside of us that he wants to pull out, but a lot of times we have to go through the test in order to see and know what we can do. So when we are tried in these areas of our life, we're tried to see if we will remain stable through the fire or will we buckle under the pressure. What's so important about remaining stable? What's so important about doing what Christians should do? Because every one of us in here today, You've all heard this, but I thought you were a Christian, brother. Amen. When we're tried in areas of our life, we're tried to see if we will remain stable through the fire or buckle under the pressure. And know that everybody is watching you. I know you go down to that church. I know they teach you to have faith, but I can't believe you're buckling under the pressure. Guess what? We're human. We will buckle. But it's just an opportunity to say, you know what, okay, I failed today. But tomorrow, when I get to the same spot, I know that I have the power of God in me to get to the next level. You don't have to remain in that fallen state. You don't have to remain in that failed state, if you would. There is a test that we must go through. And when we remain stable at that level, then God knows you are now ready for the next challenge. You are now ready for the next level. And he begins to promote you. He begins to advance you. There are many of us that have been praying for promotion at work. We want this job. We want that job. But we're not being faithful. We're not being stable at the level that we are. We come into work upset. We come into work late. We gripe about the boss. We gripe about the job we're given. But yet we're still telling God, God, I want that promotion. And God says, but you're not even being stable or faithful at the level that you are. How can I rise you to the next level if you cannot pass the test right here? When you become faithful at this level, when you become stable at this level, the boss brings you a stack of bills this high to work through. And you say, thank you, Lord, for the opportunity. And you just dive right into it. And you begin to work. And God sees that you're staying level. God sees that you're staying faithful. God sees that you're honoring him here. Guess what? Now you're ready for promotion, and you get that promotion, you're moving on. So we understand. We're tried in that area to see how we buckle or how we work through the fire. And many people are also watching you to see how are you going to respond? How are you going to react in the heat of the battle, in the pressure? Second thought on that is when we're testing something, God knows what you can do. It's a matter of us getting our hearts right, removing what we don't need, to be there or what God doesn't want to be in our hearts so that we can be who God made us out to be. The perfect example would be Gideon. The word of God says, Gideon, thou man, thou mighty man of valor. But where was Gideon? Gideon was hiding behind the wine press. Who was Gideon in his own eyes? Gideon was the least of his tribe. He's like, wait a minute, God, how are you calling me a man of valor? There are many more that greater than I. And I'm still hiding behind the wine press. And God says, Gideon, you are a mighty man of valor. What did God know about Gideon? God knew that Gideon was able to take care of the task that he set him out for. Gideon did not realize that until he was able to see himself through the eyes of God, not as the smallest in his tribe, not as the tiniest, not as an ant, but as a mighty man of valor. It did not matter what anybody else told him until he was able to see himself through the eyes of God. He could not move to the next level. And many of us in here today are right there. God knows what he has inside you. He's trying to draw it out. God knows what he has inside me. He's trying to draw it out. And sometimes the pressures of life, sometimes the little tests that we go through are just doing that. They're pulling out what does not need to be there, and God is putting in you who he already knows you are. Or not necessarily putting it in you. He's allowing you to see who he already knows you are. So many of us think that we have it together. Brother Carl, that's all right, but, you know, I got it down, man. I don't need that. I got that test. I passed that test already. Think about this. You go to the store, you buy something, whatever it could be. It could be a new golf club, be a new motorcycle. It could be a VCR. It could be whatever. You buy something, you get it home, you put it together, you're getting ready to use it. Oops, something's missing. How do you respond at that point? Kids are with you. Family's all watching. Friends might be around you. Get that new golf club, Tara. Get out there on the driving range. Hit it a couple of times. Felt good. Put it back in your bag. You go showing it off in front of your partners. Man, this is the club. Get out there, and before you swing it, you go this way, and the handle keeps going. The handle stays in your hand, and the head flies somewhere else. How do you respond when you put it to the test, but it did not live up to its expectations? See, many of us might get angry. You might get frustrated. You might get upset. I can't believe it. I can't wait to get back to that store. I'm going to give them a piece of my mind. Be careful what you give them, because you might be giving them all your mind. And that little piece that you're giving, you might need it when you walk out. My aunt used to tell me that all the time. Baby, you're talking about giving somebody a piece of your mind. That might be the only piece you got. You might want to hold on to it. So we understand how we respond in that is a test. Yeah, it's frustrating. True, you don't want to have to turn around and go back to the store for a stupid cord or the head flew off your brand new golf club that was all shiny in the bag. So now you got to wait a little bit longer before you can use it. But how you respond in the test is going to determine whether or not you pass it. Why did this happen? God tests. Testing to see how you're going to respond. Testing to let us know that there's still things in our heart that needs to change. But I got this one, man. I got it under control. If we're getting frustrated over little things like that, then guess what? There's still a heart test. There's still an opportunity for us to grow in this area. And no matter how many times you think you got it down, the devil knows what upsets you. The devil knows how to pull your buttons. The devil knows exactly what to do to get you off focus and get you offline with God. And he will throw those little wrenches inside. He'll throw those little road bumps along the road to make you try and get angry and get upset and not realize that not only what I do is going to affect me, but it's going to affect somebody that's watching me. If you're like most people, anything uncomfortable, anything requiring a change, we'd rather get rid of it or not deal with it. If it's uncomfortable, don't bring it to me. I've been talking golf, and I keep picking on Tara, but think about it. Any golfers in here? No. I'm a baseball player. I have one swing and one swing only. I open my left hip and I swing for the fence. And if I'm batting left-handed, I open my right hip and I swing for the fence. That is not golf, no way, no how. Golf teaches you to keep the hip closed. Golf teaches you to let your hands come through and open up. Baseball teaches you to get your hands out there, open up, boom, use your hips. I can't do that. If I do that in golf, the ball goes like this. I do that in baseball, it comes out to be a base hit. And so it's uncomfortable. And so when I started learning golf, they're telling me, brother, you got to do this, you got to do that. And I'm like, but this is just a natural thing. I step up to the plate, I already know what to do. My body has been trained to do it. I know all I got to do is just stand here and boom, and it's going to work. It doesn't work like that. So I have to get out of my comfort zone, and I have to do it the way the teacher tells me to do it, and it's not always comfortable. So guess what? I have determined in my life, and Pastor told a golf story a couple weeks ago when the guy told him, if you're going to do it the way you always do it, don't expect your score to go any higher. But if you start changing, get out of your comfort zone and do it the way I'm telling you and practice this, then you're going to notice your score is going to change. I have determined in myself, I've got a baseball swing. I've always had a baseball swing. Let it work for you. I was playing the other day. My brother's sitting back there, and he saw it. When I did my baseball swing, it started off like this, and it fall. Psh, might fall on the fairway and might fall in the canal. Who knows? And every now and then, I do it right. I did everything right. I kept my hip closed. I hit the ball straight as an arrow. If I could do that all the time, my score would be a whole lot lower. But it don't happen like that. Why? Because I have resulted to the comfort zone. I refuse to get out of the comfort zone. And because I refuse to get out of the comfort zone, I cannot increase. I cannot pass. I will not go to the next level until I realize that if I'm going to continue playing golf, I have got to get out of the comfort zone and do what is being instructed to me instead of just getting rid of it. Instead of just going back to what I always know. And a lot of us are just that way. We rather ignore it. We rather not deal with it. It's uncomfortable, so I won't do with it. One thing we need to realize that's important as Christians. If you don't get anything else I say tonight, please get this. One of the single most important things for us as Christians is how we behave during the hard times. And it just so happened that we were with the new brother in the church, and we were out there playing golf, and I did something, and pastor like, brother, we don't want to show him that side, and we were laughing about it. But think about it. How I behave in the pressure. I hit one out of bounds, and I mean it was out. I could have threw my club, jumped up screaming and hollering, or I could have just put another ball down and hit the third. Hit three. And how you respond in that, it's going to speak loud to the people that are around you. So going back to this thought, one of the single most important things for us as Christians is how we behave or respond during the hard times, not only for ourselves, but it's important for the world because the world does not see stability. Guess what? You're ministering to your neighbor. You're ministering to that person that's in your job. You're ministering to somebody on a daily basis, and all of a sudden adversity comes your way. All of a sudden you're placed to a test. That person that you have been ministering to, they got their eyes on you. They want to see how is this Christian going to respond in the face of adversity. And if I behave right, if I say, you know what, God, this is a test. I know you can get me through this. I'm not going to sway to the left or to the right. I'm going to trust in you. I know that you are a God that is able to get me through this situation. I'm going to move on in faith in you. Or I can pull my hair out, scream and shout, and I can't believe they're putting me through this. That person is watching you. They get enough of that in the world. When they come across a Christian brother or sister in life, they want to know how you're going to respond in the heat of the battle. So it's not just important for us, but it's important for the world. The world must see stability in Christians. The world must see stability in you. And guess what? There are always times and trials around you. There's always things around you that's happening that could cause us to go off straight. Are you always going to hit the mark? No. But you do know one thing. As long as I trust in the Lord, I don't have to worry about what I'm going to display to this person that's watching me. If I stay stable, if I stay faithful to God, then He's going to get me through this. And that person that's waiting for me to fall, that person that's watching to say, I thought you were a Christian, will never have that opportunity to judge God. Because God is keeping you faithful in the heat of the battle. It's only a test. When we realize that it's just a test, then we will realize that it's how I respond may help the next person. Adversity will come. Look at Job. Job had it all. And adversity came his way. And every opportunity he had to curse God, every opportunity he had to turn his back on God, every opportunity every friend came and told him, just do it and get it over with, he never charged God foolishly. He stayed faithful to the end. Why was God allowing the enemy to tempt or to do these things or test Job in these areas? Because God knew who Job was. God even told him, have you considered my servant Job? Can God say that about you? Have you considered my servant Job? Have you considered my servant Francis? Have you considered my servant? servant, Lupe. I know that they can go through it. You can try this and you can try that, but they're not going to turn their back on me. They're going to hold strong to their faith. They're going to know that I will get them through this. They will pass the test. So, what do? We ask God, God, show us. Show us, God. Show me, God. David said it in Psalms 132, in 130, verse 23 and 24. He said, search me, O God, and know my heart. First of all, that is a strong statement because you already know that God knows your heart. But David was willing to say, you know what, God, I know some stuff inside me is not right. It does not line up with your will for my life. It does not line up in who you want me to be. It's uncomfortable for me to even think this, God, but I know that you have greater things in store for me. So he said, search me, Lord, know my heart, and if there's anything inside me that is impure, that is not right, then remove it. Or in this version, it says, try me and know my anxieties and see if there's anything wicked or any wicked ways in me. And lead me in the way of everlasting. Show me, God. Show me where I'm failing the test. Show me, God, where I need to work harder in that area so that I may pass the test. So that when I come across this situation in my life again, God, I will not have to go back around and do it all over again, God. But I can get to that point in my life and I can pass that so I can become who you want me to become. So that I can go on and minister to that person that you've been trying to get me through the situation, God, so I can minister with it. I don't understand why my father had to die. I don't understand why my wife had cancer. I don't understand this. God is testing you. And in that test, he wants to know, are you going to be faithful to me? And I can get you through this. And if your father had to die, I'm sorry. But guess what? God did not forsake you in that death. God was there when no one else was there. And he got you through that. But the next person that dies, I can't believe this has happened to me again. I don't know why this happened to me. And we start complaining. We start murmuring. Guess what? The children of Israel did it in the wilderness. They complained when there shouldn't have been complaining. God saw them through the wilderness for 40 years. God led them. God fed them. God clothed them. God gave them everything they needed, but yet they continue to murmur and complain. I can't believe. You know what? That is what the devil wants you to do. He wants you to not to believe that God is able to get you through. He wants you to believe that God is not going to get you past this test. God has given you everything you need inside you to get you past the test. All you have to do is stop complaining, stop murmuring, say, God, I thank you for taking me through that. I know you made me stronger, God. I miss my father. I love him dearly, but God, you made me a better person. And next thing you know, there's somebody coming through who lost their father. And all of a sudden, you can minister. You know what, brother? I was in your spot one day and God grabbed me. He wrapped me in his arms. He held me tight at night. When no one else could comfort me, there was a God that says, son, I know what you're going through. That's why you went through the test. That's why your wife had cancer. That's why you had to drive her through dialysis. That's why you had to go to chemo and radiation and all these things, because somebody needs to hear your testimony of, look what the Lord has done. God did it for me. He'll do it for you. Pass the test. Show me, God. And when we stop the complaining, when we stop the murmuring, guess what? The test becomes easier. I found that out true to life in regular class. When I stop worrying about the test, when I stop complaining, number one, I've already studied. I've already listened. I know what they're going to teach me. I know what they're going to ask me. Most of us that go to class know that. But if you like me and skip one or two of them back in the days, I hope my daughter's not watching this. But if you skip one or two of them, then you have to worry. But if you're there and you're studying and you're getting the information in, there is no worry. And when you realize, you know what, God, I have prepared for this moment. You have made me just for this time and space in life, God. Why should I complain? Why should I worry, God? All I have to do is trust in you, Lord, knowing that you have not brought me to this spot so that I will fall. You have brought me to this spot, God, to get me to the next level. When I changed my mindset, the test was easy. And the promotion came. So that's something that we must think about. No test, no promotion. We ask for promotion. We ask for favor. And God says, okay, let's see how you do in the test. I want the promotion, God. I want favor in my life, God. I want financial stability in my life, God. But I don't want the test. Don't test me, Lord. Just give it to me. Children of Israel, don't test me, Lord. Just get us to the promised land. God wants to know, will you be faithful to him through it all? And when we are faithful at the small things, the Bible says he will make us ruler over plenty. Many of us want it, want the favor, want the promotion, but we don't want or we can't pass the test. The devil knows what bothers you, and he knows how to push those buttons. It's time for us to be what God wants us to be. It's time for us to pass the test. It's time for us to stop the murmuring. It's time for us to stop the complaining. It's time for us to stop pointing the finger and say, you know what, God, if it's going to be, it's up to me. And I choose this day to do it your way. I choose this way, God, to believe that you will get me through this. I choose this day, God, that everything I need is already inside me. You would not have called me a mighty man of valor. You would not have told me that I was made in your image. You would not have told me that you have good thoughts and plans for me today. The word of God. And when we meditate on what God said about us, then we don't worry about the problem or the issue anymore. And we can pass the test. So, we think about that. In Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 2, talking about the children of Israel. And you shall remember the Lord your God led you all the way these 40 years in the wilderness. This is where it gets good. To humble you and to test you. To know what was in your heart. Whether you would keep his commandments or not. Think about it. What wilderness are you going through right now? What test are you going through right now? Can you put that test, can you put that your name in this scripture? And Carl shall remember the Lord, your God, have led Carl all these days, all these ways for 40 years in the wilderness to humble Carl, to test Carl, to know what's in Carl's heart, whether or not Carl would keep his commandments. Guess what? When Carl kept the commandments, he passed the test. An 11-day journey through the wilderness. 11 days took 40 years. So think about that. Some of us are making our journey longer than it has to be. Whatever the test, whatever the wilderness that you're in right now, think about how we're responding. Think about that statement we said earlier. The most important thing, one of the most important things for Christians is how we behave during the hard times. How we behave in the wilderness. If we're murmuring, if we're complaining, if we're bickering, if we're pointing fingers, if we're trying to find excuses, we're taking an 11-day journey and making it into a 40-year trip. Some of us are making our journey longer than it needs to be. What's in your heart comes out of your mouth. If we murmur all the time, if that's all we're taking in, guess what? Eventually, it's going to come out. That is what's keeping many of us in our wilderness today. I saw Pastor pray for somebody. He gave testimony of laying hands on somebody in the altar, and their cancer was removed. Well, why didn't it work for me? Stop complaining. Rejoice in that person's salvation. Rejoice in that person's healing. Rejoice in that person's restored marriage. I can't believe every time I go for prayer for my marriage, nothing ever happens. And somebody went up there and talked about how great God is and how he restored their marriage. Stop complaining about that. When you stop complaining about it, maybe God will do something in your marriage. I can't believe the neighbor next door got a new car. Praise him. Thank God he got a new car. I'm glad you got a new car, brother. Hallelujah. Maybe mine's coming next. This neighborhood's going to look good with all new cars in there. But many times, think about what I said. The devil knows what catches you. The devil knows how to make you push those buttons. And he begins to make you murmur. He begins to make you complain. And because that's what's in our heart, that's what comes out of our mouth. And it keeps us in a wilderness state or a wilderness place in our life. And God is wanting to promote us. God is wanting to pass us. God does not want us all. And Paul said it this way, I have meat that I would like to give to you, but some of you are still on spiritual milk. I can't give you the meat because you're still drinking milk. And God is saying the same thing. Guess what? I want you to pass that test because I got something so much better for you at this level. But until you become faithful here, I cannot promote you to this level. Until you pass this test, you'll never be able to experience the next one in your life. Back to verse 2. God led you through the wilderness 40 years to humble and to test you to see if you would keep his commandment or not. Will you pass or will you fail? I don't know what your wilderness is tonight. I don't know what's going through your life, just like you don't know what's going through mine unless we have talked and talked about it. I don't know what your wilderness is, but I do know this. 11-day journey took 40 years because of the bickering, griping, and complaining. Moses, I can't believe you brought us out here. We were good in Egypt. We could have stayed there and been slaves all our life. Moses says, you idiots, God have a better plan for you. But they could not see the plan of God for their life because they were too busy murmuring and complaining. Fail. Let's go take that trip one more time. I could even see it right now. They're at the edge of the wilderness, just about to step into the promised land. Moses, why couldn't we stay in Egypt? Oh, go back and do it again. How many times have we been so close to the breakthrough? How many times have we been right on the edge of where God wants us, but then we allow somebody's murmuring and complaining, and we begin to look back and think about how great it was there instead of realizing that God has a hope and a promise and a future that is so much greater for you on the next level. Eyes have not seen, nor ears have heard those things which I have in store for you, saith the Lord. God has a plan for you. All he's wanting you to do is pass at this level so that you can experience it at the next level. Are you making your 11-day journey into a 40-year trip? Think about this. We do not need the power of the Holy Spirit to help us act right or do what is good when everything is going right in your life. You don't need the Holy Spirit at that time. You're blessing everybody. You're giving people things. You're patting people on the back. You're walking into work great. But when adversity comes your way, how do you respond? How do I respond? We need the power of the Holy Spirit to be peaceful, joyful, do what's right, treat people right when nothing is going right in your life. That's when we need the Holy Spirit. When everything's going great, it's all good. There's no problem. But when we are going through the test, we need the Spirit. We need the Holy Spirit to keep us focused. We need the Holy Spirit to keep us right. That is a test that you're going through. Whatever's going on in your life right now, it may be your wilderness test. It may not just be one thing. It may be a pile of things. The wilderness test could be described as this. When it's not just one dry season in your life, but everything seems to be dry. You're experiencing one test after the next. It's just boom, boom, boom. It seems like you're thinking, God, I cannot handle it anymore. And God says, yes, you can. I will not put more on you than you cannot handle. But we begin to murmur and we begin to complain and we begin to look at the circumstances and the situations around us and we're not realizing this is only a test. And the master teacher is given the test. And he's saying, you have everything you need to pass this test. It starts with the heart. When you guard your heart with my word and know that I have a plan and a future for you, when you guard your heart with my word and know that I'm not going to put more on you than you can bear, and you stop repeating, God, I can't handle anymore, but you say, God, I know this is a test. I know you're taking me through this, God, and I know that if I just focus on who you are in my life, I can get through this, and I will be okay. It's only a test. In Habakkuk 3, 17 and 18, it says, though the fig trees may not blossom, nor the fruit on the vine, nor fruit be on the vines, though the labor of the olive may fail, and the fields yield no food, though the flock may be cut off from the fold, and there be no herd in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. Can I tell you something? If you look at Habakkuk 3, 17 and 18, there was some hard times going on in this person's life. It wasn't all a bed of roses, but what did he choose to do? He had a heart change, and he says, I know these things are going on, but yet I shall rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. I know that he has a better plan for me, and what my circumstance is right now is not my future. God has a better plan for my life. I don't have to sit here and be worried or complain that I'm going through a dry season in my life, because I know that there is joy coming in the morning, and I shall rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. I will not complain. I will not focus on the negative. I'm going to lift up my eyes to the hills from which cometh my help. And I know that God's hand is not short. I know that God is not a merciful, is an unmerciful God, but he will see my need. He will meet my need as I honor him and not complain in my situation. It's easy to complain. The bills are piling up. The job future seems insecure. The wife is on your case. The husband's not acting right. All he can think about is his golf club and his motorcycle. The children are causing problems. Whatever is going on in your life, yet I will rejoice. I choose this day to rejoice. David said it this way: today, this is the day the Lord has made. I shall rejoice and be glad in it. Does that mean David woke up and it was a perfect day? No. But David saw a perfect God, and he realized no matter what's going on in life, I shall rejoice, and I know that my God will get me through it. It was a heart change. He began to look at things differently. Does David have problems? Yes, he did. We all know David had problems. Do you have problems? Yes, you did. Yet I shall rejoice. Yet I will rejoice. Yet it's going to get better. It does not mean I might rejoice if things start looking better. Yet I shall rejoice. It's not easy. It's a matter of making up your mind and having a heart change. I will not complain. I choose to rejoice. In verse 19, it says, he will make me able to walk on my high places. See, this is why we must meditate on the Word of God. This is why we must know that what you're going through right now is not permanent. It is just a test. This verse says, he will make you able to walk on your high hills or your high places. What is the high place? It is the hard times. It is the troubles. It is your responsibilities. It is your daily things. It is the issues that are going on. But the Bible says he will make you able to walk on your high hills. Refuse to go into the self-pity mode. Yet I will rejoice. Yet I will rejoice. Yeah, everything's falling apart around me. Yeah, this day seems like it would have been better if I had stayed in bed. Yeah, I'm going through some issues, but yet I will rejoice. I wake up in the morning and I say, this is the day the Lord has made. I thank you, God, for giving me another opportunity, another chance to pass this test. God, I know that you have a good plan for me today, and I'm going to rejoice in whatever comes my way. And God says, that is the heart I've been waiting on. You have passed the test. It's your attitude that will determine your altitude. Your attitude in the test will determine your altitude. It will determine how high you fly. When you are in your high places, we will rejoice, not complain. We have the opportunity to grow, to get over the issue or the problems and grow. Pass the test, get rid of the attitude. Everybody know, you've heard Pastor teach this several times before, when you're in a plane, it is the attitude of the plane that determines the altitude, how high you rise. We can sit down here and squat with all the buzzards, or we can fly high and high and high. We can aim high like an eagle and go up and say, you know what? I'm going to elevate my attitude because my attitude is going to determine where I come out on the other end. God is saying, change the attitude. Determine in your mind that you shall rejoice. Determine in your mind that God is greater than that situation that you have, and you will come out ahead on the other side. Out of the original millions of Israelites that were going through the wilderness, only two made it to the promised land. Why? Because they chose to honor God through it all. Change your mind now. Choose now not to complain. Choose now not to murmur. God is using your circumstances to change you and to promote you when you pass the test. When we look at it as a test, we don't look at it as a permanent thing. This is simply a test because there's something inside me that's not right, and I must change that in order to move to the next level. God is using that circumstances to promote you to the next test, to the next level. Perfect example would be Joseph. Joseph dreamed a dream. If you go back to Genesis chapter 29 and you begin to read the story of Joseph, Joseph dreamed a dream and he shared it with his brothers. Guess what? When he dreamed that dream, it was all a bed of roses. It was awesome. But when he shared it with his brothers, it turned bad in a hurry. No longer is he first of all, they didn't like him because he was favored of his father. They didn't like him because father gave him a coat of many colors. There was a lot of things going on in Joseph's life that wasn't all roses, a bed of roses. God gave him a promise in a dream, but when he shared that and he began to see it, it was not all a bed of roses. But he had to realize something. It's only a test. And as I go through this and I hold on to the dream that God gave me, I will come out ahead on the other side. So he went from being the favorite son to the pit, bloodied and in a pit. He came out of the pit and got sold into slavery. He came out of slavery, but think about it. From the pit, he went into slavery to the gypsies, to the gypsies. Yeah, that's him. And what was that? It was a ride from where the pit, it was a ride from the pit to the palace, to the area that he needed to be in. If he had looked at his circumstances, I can't believe it, God, you promised me all this, and look what's going on in my life. He said, you know what? It might be looking dim right now, but this is not the future God planned for me. This pit is not where God planned for me. Slavery is not where God planned for me. The prison is not what God plans for me. He told me I was going to be king. He told me I was going to be ruler over this region, and that I hold on to. So each opportunity, each test in his life was an opportunity to get him from where he was to where God needed him to be. And had he charged God foolishly, he may have missed out on his blessing. But because he held his tongue, he kept his faith, and he knew that God was testing him and getting him through, he was able to be promoted to what God said he would be. God is using your circumstances to change you and promote you when you pass the test. In Romans 8:28, and we know that all things work together for good to those who love God and to those who are called according to his purpose. Know that the test that you're going through is God's chance to promote you. Don't give up hope. Don't lose heart. Don't complain. Rejoice in the Lord and say, I will pass this test. In Numbers 21:4-5, the journey from Mount Hor, they journeyed from Mount Hor by way of the Red Sea to go around the land of Edom. And the souls of the people became very discouraged on the way. And the people spoke against God and against Moses. Why have you brought us out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no food and no water, and our souls loathe in this worthless bread. They begin to look at the situation and murmur and complain. Their greed, their impatience, their complaining. We can't move forward with this mindset. We must realize that it is a test. And when we pass the test, there is promotion. Had they said, yet I will rejoice. Yeah, it's a little bit longer than I wanted to go. It's a different route than I wanted to take. But yet I shall rejoice and know that God is going to see me through. In James chapter 1, verse 2 and 3, it says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the test of your faith produces patience. It's not easy to remain in a joyful attitude when you're going through the test. Sometimes we don't even want to smile when we're going through the good things. But this word says, count it all joy. I just got a report from the doctor. He said, I got cancer. I said, yeah, Lord, I know you're the God of cancer, and you can heal this cancer. Oh, I just got a death sentence. I was given 6 months to live. They told me I have lung cancer. Yet, I will rejoice. God, I know you can heal me. I have faith that by your stripes I am healed. I rejoice in this. I know this is a test, and you can get me through it. By faith, I receive. God works with us to bring out what he has in us. God has something strong inside of you, and God is working it through the test to get you to where he wants you to be. Many of us don't think about joy when we're in the test. Last thing we think about, trial brings out the junk that God wants out of us. When we allow it to be what it is, the junk comes out, and what God has inside of us begins to rise up, and you become the person that God made you to be. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. What am I saying? My God is greater than the enemy. My God is greater than the devil. My God is greater than his tactics. My God is greater than cancer. My God is greater than poverty. My God is greater than anything that you might be going through. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord, my God. I know that he is the God of my salvation. I know he is the God of everything that I need, and yet I will rejoice. I know that he is greater than any situation that will ever come my way. Are you tired of grumbling and complaining? Then allow God to change your heart. James 1:12. Blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. On the other side of your test is promotion, reward, advancement. Stay stable in the test. Yet I will rejoice. Amen. Yet I will rejoice. Amen. Praise God. Tired of the grumbling, tired of the complaining. 11-day trip, 40-year trip. You choose. Which will it be? We can do just what the word of God said the Israelites did. In Numbers 21:4-5. as they journeyed by way of the Red Sea, the souls of the people became very discouraged on the way. And they spoke against God, and they spoke against Moses. Why did you bring us this way? The grumbling, the complaining cost them a longer trip. Don't know what you're going through tonight. Don't know what's going on in your life. Don't know which wilderness you're in. Don't know which issues you're dealing with. But I do know this. Our attitude in the test determines our altitude. If we trust God and we know, he said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. I will see you through to the end. If God began a good work in you, guess what? He's going to finish it. I love the story of Jesus told the disciples, I have needs, go to the other side. And in the midst of the storm, or in the midst of their travel, as they were about midway through, we all know the story. The winds picked up. The disciples began to grumble and complain. Lord, don't you care that we're going to perish? They forgot one thing. God says, Jesus said, I have needs, go to the other side. Not once in that sentence did he say, I have needs, go to the middle of this ocean or the middle of this lake and let the winds come up and overtake us. He said, I have needs, go to the other side. Can I tell you today that God has a plan for your life, and it's in the test that we're tried. It's in the test that we're proven as to whether we will be promoted or will we have to go back and do it all over again. Tonight, let's choose to say, God, in this test, I will rejoice. Let's make a heart change today. Let's say what David said. God,
here it is.
Look inside. Know my heart. If it's not right, I'm willing to change it because I want to pass the test. On the other side of the test is promotion, is reward, is advancement. God just wants to know, all the way back to our original text, he just wants to know whether or not we will keep his commandment. Deuteronomy 8:2, you shall remember that the Lord your God led you all the way these 40 years to humble you and to test you, to know your heart, and to see whether you would keep his commandments or not. It's just a test. What you're going through right now, it's just a test. Honor God, pass the test. Murmur against God, start all over again. Honor God, promotion. Murmur, start it all over again. Stay where you are. Which will you choose tonight? Father, we thank you for your word tonight. Lord, we thank you that we realize it's just a test. Whatever we're going through tonight, whatever we've been battling through tonight, battling through this week, battling through this year, God, it's only a test. But Father, we realize tonight that you are greater than the challenge. We keep our eyes focused on you. And as we do, we know that it's through you and by you, God, that we will pass this test. Tonight, you might be thinking, I'm tired. I'm tired of complaining. I'm tired of getting to the same spot in my life and not moving forward. I'm just tired. God says, okay. Are you ready for a change? Our healing team are here. I will be here as well. As they begin to sing whatever God places on their heart, we're going to ask you to stand, come down to the altar. But as you come, make up your mind. Yet, I will rejoice. Whatever you're going through, yet, I will rejoice. It's a heart change. That's one. The other one is, you may not know the Lord as your personal Savior. If there's anybody here tonight, eyes closed. If you don't know the Lord as your personal Savior, I would ask you at this time to just lift your hand in air and say, you know what, God, I want to know you. Lord, I want to know this Jesus who Pastor Carl's talking about. I want to know this person who can change my heart, who can help me pass the test. If that's you tonight, if you just lift a hand, we'll pray for you. Amen. Praise God. One hand goes up. Does everybody stand to their feet? We're going to pray real quick. There was a hand that went up. So we want to pray that God would come into her heart. So let's help. Everybody repeat after me. Say, dear Lord, I receive you. I receive what you did on the cross for me. I know that you are my Savior. You died on the cross for my sins. And I accept you in my heart tonight. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. Amen. Now let's give the Lord a hand clap for that. We rejoice with the angels for if just one comes into the Lord. Now, as Tara begins to sing, if you are that person that says, you know what, I'm tired of the complaining. I realize that there's some things in my heart that needs to change. I want to pass the test. We want to pray with you tonight. As they begin to sing, come on down to the altar.